ITN Distribution. Jagged Edge Productions. A sketchy pencil drawing animation appears of a forest and a boy.
Deep in the Hundred Acre Woods, a young boy named Christopher Robin came across some most unusual adolescent creatures. Crossbreeds, who some would describe as abominations. The creatures introduced themselves as owl, rabbit, Eeyore, piglet, and most importantly, Winnie the Pooh. With the naivety of youth, Christopher ignored the dangers and befriended them all. He brought them food, and with each passing day together, their bond strengthened and grew. The days turned to years, and with the years came maturity. Eventually, Christopher had to make the hard decision to leave his friends to attend college, to become a doctor, requiring them to fend for themselves once more. Then winter arrived. The nights were deathly cold, with the land barren and completely devoid of food. One fateful night, on the brink of starvation, Pooh decided that in order to survive, the group must consume one of their dearest friends. And thus, Eeyore was no more. The trauma of this act warped the minds of the group. They became feral and developed a hatred to all things human. And in particular, Christopher Robin, for abandoning them. A pact was made. They renounced their humanity and returned to their animalistic roots, swearing never to talk again.
Pooh and the animals stand around Eeyore's grave, a high shot of a misty forest. The words, 5 years later, appear on screen. The shot lowers into the woods along a tall tree as a man and a woman walk past through the mist.
Here we are. Told you it wouldn't take that long. Come on, I know exactly where to go now.
You said that 2 hours ago.
Nearly there. Promise.
Okay, 1 more hour.
1 more hour.
If not, we're turning back.
Okay. You know, you're the first person I ever shown this place to.
Oh, and why am I so special?
Why are you so special?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that is because soon we'll be Christopher and Mary Robin. And I don't want any secrets between us, and I certainly don't want you to think I'm crazy.
I don't think you're crazy, Chris.
Christopher and Mary hold hands. Christopher leads Mary further into the woods. She looks up and around at the trees. A nearby wooden sign reads, 100 Acre Wood. The paint is faded and messy and the camera tilts. Christopher and Mary continue through the woods, stopping in a clearing to talk.
Do you think I made up those stories?
No, I don't think you've made it all up.
Okay, so you believe me? You believe they exist?
Well, I didn't say that.
The two remove their backpacks.
Look, I think you were very young, and your imagination ran wild, and over the years you've convinced yourself of it.
They exist, Mary. I couldn't have made all of this up.
You don't need to be ashamed of that. Lots of people have imaginary friends as children.
They're not imaginary, Mary.
Christopher shakes his head. Mary drinks from a bottle, as does Christopher.
That strong imagination of yours is what's made you so successful. You don't need to shy away from it.
Why are we even here? Why are we even here if you don't believe me?
Chris, I don't think we're going to find them. But I'm here to support you.
Mary rubs Christopher's arm. Christopher smiles and puts his hand on hers.
Come on. Starting to get a bit late.
Pooh, Piglet, Eeyore, all of them. We were friends for many years. And they're out there.
I know, you've told me the stories many times. How you would sneak into the kitchen to get them food, and how you would play with them for hours and talk to them.
Yes.
This little yellow bear, this baby pig, that no one, Chris, not even you, has ever seen since.
Maybe you're right.
I know it's quite hard to deal with this, but that's why I came. And you know, in a way, they still exist in you.
Pooh! Come on, Mary, it's them! It's them!
Christopher! Christopher, it's not safe!
This is it. This is it, Mary, we found them.
Christopher, we can't go in there!
Christopher and Mary enter a house made of trees as it begins to rain.
This is the place, Mary, but it's changed.
It can't be.
It's barely how I remember it.
This has to be some sort of mistake.
Oh. Who? What happened to you after all these years?
Christopher, we need to leave. Now.
Mary.
We really shouldn't be here.
Mary, I really need to find out what's happened here, okay?
Come on. Please.
Look, you're not in any danger, okay? I know them, all right? Look, I'm here to protect you. It's going to be okay, all right? All right?
I don't like this.
Mary, it's going to be okay, all right? I promise. When you see them, it'll be fine. Come on.
Christopher leads Mary through the area. A large clay pot with blood and honey on it is nearby, as well as mostly empty jars of honey. Further in, there is a small wooden grave marker with Gior, R.I.P. written on it. In front of it is a bicycle and a human skull. Mary looks around and sees the skull. She hurries back towards Christopher. More jars are around, all of them with little pools of honey in the bottom, some of them tipped over. Christopher passes by with Mary, following quickly behind him. She hugs her arms to herself. The rain continues to pour. Christopher walks past a few abandoned vehicles near a treehouse.
This is our house, Mary. We used to play here all the time. It's much bigger than I remember.
Christopher and Mary approach the treehouse. Both of them look around at the assorted debris. Christopher looks up and begins to ascend the stairs to the treehouse. Mary follows after him. Rain drips off of an old animal skull with horns on it. Christopher opens the door and the two enter the dingy treehouse. Inside, a light bulb hangs from the ceiling near a set of wooden bunk beds.
Who? Piglet?
Christopher looks around the room for his friends. Mary cautiously enters, putting her hand on the bunk bed as she looks around. Antlers are mounted on the wall.
Chris? Is that you?
Mary shows Christopher a drawing. He inspects it.
Yes. Why is it like that? Why would they do this?
I don't know. But this is not safe. We're going home. We have to hide. We have to hide. Hide. Please hide.
Mary approaches and gets into a nearby box, hunkering down in order to hide as someone nears the treehouse. Christopher crawls underneath a table as someone enters the house. The figure lumbers past Christopher, who winces and covers his mouth. The figure puts down a metal object. Mary also covers her mouth as the figure nears her hiding spot. She looks up, her eyes wide open in terror. She looks over at Christopher, who holds a finger up to his mouth in a quieting gesture. The figure doesn't seem to notice them and now lies down in one of the beds to sleep. Christopher and Mary stay prone in their hiding spots, terrified of being found. Outside of the treehouse, there is a wooden deck with a hole in the middle where a fire burns. Around the deck are four metal trailers placed an equal distance from each other in a large circle. The time of day suddenly shifts from day to night. The fire still burns in the circle and a light bulb is glowing nearby. Christopher and Mary are still inside the treehouse in their respective hiding spots. Mary slowly begins to get up, peering over the edge of the box as she moves. Christopher pushes himself up as well and crawls out from underneath the table. He looks over to see a figure in a flannel shirt and overalls sleeping in the bed. The two of them sneak out of the treehouse, successfully making it through the front door and outside to the top of the stairs. Above the entrance, another horned skull is affixed to the wood of the treehouse. Christopher slowly opens a gate at the top of the stairs as he and Mary attempt to escape. They begin to creep down the stairs past another lamp. Back inside the treehouse, the figure remains lying in the bed. Christopher and Mary continue to creep down the stairs, cautiously, but quickly. They round the stairs across a small landing and keep going. The two of them look around as they head near the trailers. Steam is produced by Christopher and Mary's breathing as they approach. Mary moves ahead, attempting to hide. She is suddenly attacked by Piglet, who strangles her with a chain.
Piglet, stop!
Chris!
Piglet, help me! Piglet, stop!
Christopher tries to stop Piglet, but is unsuccessful. Mary begins to cough up blood.
Stop, please, Mary! Piglet!
Mary's neck breaks under the stress of the chain and she slumps over. Christopher falls back and begins to run away. Piglet follows. Mary's bloodied body stays slumped over a car hood. Christopher runs away through the woods. He slumps against the house made of trees and cries. He covers his face as he doubles over in grief. He stands back up and wipes his face. Christopher looks over to see Pooh appear nearby as the lights cut in and out.
There's something wrong with Piglet. He just killed my wife. Please.
Christopher begins to back away from Pooh, shaking his head.
Why are you doing this, Pooh? We used to be friends. Why are you doing this, please?
Christopher attempts to run out, but Piglet appears and the two begin to box him in.
So sorry, I didn't know any of this would happen. I thought you'd be okay without me. Why are you doing this? We used to be friends. What? Stop! Please, I beg you. I would have never left. I swear. We used to play together as friends. Remember when we were younger? We played. Why are you doing this? Stop! I would have never left. I swear. Remember when we were younger, too, please. Stop.
Flashes of more pencil drawings appear that depict Christopher being dragged into a cave and shown the bones of his other animal friends. A body is burned in the fire pit as Pooh and Piglet watch, their faces aglow from the fire. Title: Winnie the Pooh. Blood and Honey. Opening credits sequence. Nikolai Leon. Maria Taylor.
Mutilated body found.
Craig David Dowsett. Chris Cordell. Natasha Rose Mills. Amber Doig Thorne. Danielle Ronald. Supervising sound designer, Ryan Hatton. Music, Andrew Scott Bell. Director of photography, Vince Knight. Executive producers, Stuart Olson, Nicole Holland. Producers Reese Frakewaterfield, Scott Jeffrey.
You heard us at the 100 Acre Woods.
Writer and director, Reese Frakewaterfield.
100 Acre Woods.
A woman, Maria, lies down on a couch with a fur blanket underneath her. She stares up at the ceiling.
I'm not really sure how to explain it.
Well, are you happy that you came to speak to me today?
Yeah.
And why is that?
I don't want to keep living how I am. Everywhere I go, I'm looking over my shoulder. And I just feel on edge. You know, like the slightest noise and I can just feel my heart racing.
Being aware of how this is affecting your life and actioning it is a big step. With every session, you are making good progress. And Maria, I am here to help you achieve that.
It's just, it feels like nothing has really changed.
You are not in the same situation you were a few months ago.
Yeah. I know. It's just hard to adjust. While I'm at work, in any crowds, can't help but feel that he could still be out there.
Have you thought about taking a weekend away? Go somewhere quiet. Disconnect from the busy world. Somewhere which might feel safer, and to take your mind off everything that's happened. I think it could really help you.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maria looks at her therapist and gives her a half-hearted smile. She then looks down. Outside, a row of trees in a forest stand against the sky as the sun rises. A large number of birds fly around overhead. A dirt path winds its way through the forest. The shot travels up the length of a group of trees and transitions to a bird's eye view of the forest and the path. A car now drives along the path.
2 hours! Seriously, Tina?
No, I'm sorry, I'll be there. Can you just settle in? Get some wine, just get the pre-drinks going, I'll be there soon.
Honestly, you would lose your head if it wasn't attached to you.
Listen. Right, do you hear that? Okay, that is the door. Okay, I'm coming,
I won't be long. Yeah, alright, you flake. Alright, we'll see you soon.
The car drives further into the forest. The shot moves deeper in, pushing into a dark grouping of trees. The car arrives at a seemingly abandoned gas station, the surroundings covered by a layer of mist. Another car and a truck are parked nearby, but with no drivers around. The driver of the initial car, Maria, exits and closes the door, standing near the gas pump. She looks around for someone to help her.
Hello?
Maria pulls her hands up into her hoodie sleeves as she walks around outside. She approaches the gas station building.
Hello?
She peers in through the windows, but doesn't see anyone. There are two doors, one of them slightly ajar. Maria steps near the double doors, favoring the closed side. Next to the doors are several missing person flyers. She puts her hands on the door and looks in through it. She goes to the ajar side and opens it fully, carefully stepping inside. There are no lights on and it seems empty.
Hello? Is anyone here?
Maria ventures further into the gas station. A ladder stands beside a nearby wall. The walls are covered in various papers and posters as well as a small clock giving the time as 4:15. Outside, light streams in through the windows. Maria looks in between two rows of shelves, but backs away from them. She moves to the other side of the room near a small shelf of various aerosol cans. She backs up and looks behind her. An entire van is inside the shop. Maria continues to walk around cautiously and looks for signs of life. Everything inside appears long forgotten and dusty.
I don't think there's anyone here!
Someone comes in through a corner door behind Maria.
Hold on, I'm coming.
Hi.
Well, how you doing, girl? Sorry I couldn't hear you back there.
No, it's fine. I just wanted to ask, the pumps outside, are they working?
Them old things? You've seen them. They've been working for years. If you're looking for gas, you could drive up the road about 2 miles. there anything else I can help you with?
Maria, let's go.
Well, I see you have some friends out there.
Yeah, sorry, they're just a bit impatient.
Maria backs up into a woman.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, darling, don't be silly. What? My fault.
Here you go.
Oh, you're sweet.
Sorry
she
again. All right, bye.
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 Maria walks past the woman and a man to leave the gas station. Maria and her friends arrive at a house they've rented.
Oh, my feet hurt. One single bug, Zoe, you're driving me home.
I'm not going to hurt you, Lara.
I don't care, they're disgusting.
Really?
This place is kind of cool.
And did you see it has a pool?
Yeah, and a barbecue. Nice.
Well, that pool's got my name written all over it.
Thought so.
It's going to be perfect.
Yeah. Come on, girls, let's get inside.
Maria and her friends enter the house.
Wow, so nice.
It is.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
It's massive.
Is that the first time you've ever
said that, girls? Right, girls, do you remember what we agreed?
Are we actually doing that?
Yeah, what's the whole point coming here?
The girls all hand over their phones.
If you say so.
It will. To disconnect? To be at one with nature? Stop sitting around on Instagram all day.
Lara? I'm not doing that, Jess.
Yeah, you are. Come on. You're never going to know it's gone. Lara?
Fine, whatever. Oh. Fine.
She did it.
Whatever.
She'll definitely notice it's gone as well.
Yes, she will.
I don't need it. And anyway, I'm going to pack. Dipsy best room.
Okay.
Yeah, we told you Taylor weren't coming. Fashionably late, as always.
The group heads up the stairs with their luggage, except for Maria, who stays and looks around on the ground floor. She hugs her arms to herself, raises her shoulders, and looks up. A woman, Tina, exits a car just outside of a pile of logs with a sign on them reading, 100 Acre Wood. She holds her cell phone up to her ear, waiting for her call to go through.
The person you are trying to reach is not available. Please leave your message after the tone.
Hi, it's me. Can you call me as soon as you get this? Because I have no clue where I'm going. Like, is it definitely 100 Acre Woods? Is that the place? Because my sat-nav's telling me to make a U-turn and I'm so bad at directions. Call me as soon as you get this, because I have no clue where I am.
Tina looks around as she finishes leaving her message. The 100 Acre Wood sign appears to be written in blood. Tina walks through the forest and makes another call. She holds the phone to her ear. She looks over as she hears a noise and sees Pooh standing in the distance looking at her. He suddenly begins running towards her. Tina drops her phone and begins to run away from Pooh. Pooh keeps running through the trees, following quickly after her. Tina continues to run while occasionally looking behind her to see that Pooh is still there, chasing after her. They approach a large abandoned factory and head towards it. Bags of refuse lie around outside and a few chains hang nearby. A large metal shutter is open just enough for Tina to crawl underneath and get inside the building. She makes her way into the factory, which is filled with dirt and various debris. She stands in front of a large wood chipper. Tina now sees Pooh's boot underneath the shutter, clearly looking around for her outside. She crouches down beside the wood chipper, keeping a hand on it. Tina hides behind the wood chipper feeder as Pooh is now inside the building, walking around and looking for her. She stares at him wide-eyed and then clenches her eyes shut in terror. Pooh looks around for her, but doesn't seem to notice her in her hiding spot by the wood chipper. He turns around and begins to walk away. Tina lets out a sigh of relief and peers out from behind the wood chipper to confirm that Pooh has left the building and that she's safe. Tina gets up, not noticing that Pooh is standing right behind her. Tina turns and Pooh grabs her hair as she sees him. Pooh rips Tina's shirt off, exposing her breasts. He begins to force her head down towards the feeder of the wood chipper. Tina resists, trying to hold steady against the feeder's edges, but Pooh pulls her head back and then smashes it brutally against the feeder. He does this over and over again, leaving blood all over the metal. Tina's face is now a mess of blood and wet hair. Pu moves her head towards the feeder, eventually lifting her entire body up and into the woodchipper feeder. The woodchipper shakes as blood and bone begin to pour out of the other end and onto the floor. Tina's legs slowly kick as Pu holds her body aloft. Blood sprays out of the feeder, spackling Pooh's smiling face. Outside, a thick path of darkness is created by a grouping of trees. Winged insects fly around the forest. Alice and Zoe enter a darkened room. Alice turns the lights on to reveal rose petals all over the bed, including some in the shape of a heart with a photograph of the two in the middle.
When did you do all this?
Had it requested before we arrived. Don't worry, it didn't cost too much. Do you not like it?
It's just a bit soon.
Right.
I do like it. I know you care and I know you're trying a lot.
Alice turns away, picking up her jacket. Zoe looks away sadly and tucks her hair behind her ear. In her room, Lara, wearing lingerie, applies blush to her face while looking at herself in a small rectangular mirror. She dances, running her hands through her long hair. She plays air guitar on her bed and continues to move her body from side to side to the music, shaking her hair out. An exterior shot of the house denotes the passage of time. Lara approaches a small table with the phones on them. She finds hers and picks it up.
Are you sure you want to?
Yeah, it's fine. My therapist said it'll do me some good anyway.
Right.
I started to notice things occasionally seem out of place. You know, like a garden chair next to my window, or footprints in the garden.
What the hell? I never knew that happened to you.
I thought, you know, it was all just in my head and probably nothing. Then one night, I had woken up to get something to drink. And when I came back to my room, I heard something.
In a flashback, Maria opens the door to her bedroom. She stands in the doorway holding a glass of water. She looks around, into her bedroom, and back out into the living room behind her. Slowly, she steps into her bedroom. She places the glass of water down on a shelf as she makes her way further into the room, stepping very cautiously. She approaches the windows by her bed, their curtains drawn. She gets up on her bed and reaches towards them, and puts her hands on the curtains, peering through the slight opening.
Head with the curtains. Just saw these eyes staring straight at me. And when I screamed, he just ran off.
It was absolutely disgusting.
I spoke to the police and there was just nothing they could do. Everything was fine for about a month. But then in public, I started to feel this unease again, like I was being watched. Random calls. And then one night, I was asleep in my room, alone.
In another flashback, Maria lies asleep in her bed. Her bedroom door has a sliver of light coming in through the bottom and a shadow moves along it, indicating an intruder.
Must have been like 3 a.m.
The door slowly opens. A figure stands in the doorway and pauses, then opens the door the rest of the way. Their shadow is cast on the wall from the light behind them. The shadow now moves as they slowly creep further into the room towards Maria, who continues to sleep.
I just heard this noise in the room. He was inside, trying to undress me.
The intruder, an older man, reaches Maria's bed. He crouches down beside the bed and stares at her. He slowly reaches over and begins to pull Maria's shoulder strap down her arm. Maria's head lolls to the side and she wakes up, immediately backing away from the man.
That'll probably freak me out.
Lara. The police found his computer and found loads of me. I had no idea.
So I didn't want to tell you girls because it just wasn't my place.
I do feel like I'm getting out a lot better now.
Maria's friends nod and smile at her supportively. A fire roars in the fireplace behind Maria as the scene fades out. Somewhere in the woods, as mist rolls by, a light flashes on and off, illuminating Pooh's blood-speckled face. His smiling mouth opens and closes. The light flashes again, followed by another shot of Pooh's face and his mouth opening and closing. Piglet sits on a stationary bike, pumping the pedals to keep the lights on, but doing a poor job of it due to their constant flashing. Light comes in through the windows of the treehouse, highlighting roving clouds of dust. Chains hang from the ceiling alongside a bloody hook. Blood drips down from it onto the floor. A skeleton hangs from the ceiling as well, with several scraps of meat still on the bones. Pooh walks through the room amidst the dust and hooks. He approaches Christopher, still alive, but chained, his wrists bound and held up to the ceiling. Drool spills down Pooh's chin from his mouth. Christopher, shirtless, looks up at him to plead for his release.
Please. Please, just stop. This isn't you. This isn't who I remember. I had to leave. People wouldn't understand you, Pooh. Not like I did. Please, please, you have to believe me. Imagine what would have happened.
Pooh stares at Christopher silently before turning and walking away. Christopher looks down, sobbing. Pooh stands in front of a dirty mirror at the other end of the room. The lights are now steady. He hangs his head down for a few moments before slowly looking up at his reflection. He stares at the mirror for a long moment and then blinks at himself before the scene fades out to a flashback of Christopher as a child.
Silly old bear, you're the best bear in all the world. Nothing can split us up. I'll never leave you. Never, I promise. We'll grow old together, together forever. You're the best bear in all the world. I'll always be with you.
Pooh stands in the room, staring silently, his eyes wide and dark. Drool bubbles out from between his lips and runs down his face, dripping off his chin in long thick strands. Juicy tears roll down Pooh's cheeks. Pooh puts his hand on his head and turns away from the mirror. He walks back over towards Christopher, who stares at him, wide-eyed. The lights flicker a bit more. Pooh approaches a table covered in wooden crates. He lifts his arms up and brings them down, smashing through the crates and table. He throws the wood shards away and slaps bottles from another nearby table. He throws a clay pot at the wall, shattering it to bits. Christopher watches, horrified. Pooh throws a bottle, breaking it against a hook near Christopher, who flinches. Pooh holds another bottle and walks towards Christopher. He stands next to a box and leans against it for a moment before picking up a long bundle of hair from the wall. The shot is now from Christopher's perspective as Pooh approaches him and turns him around. Christopher looks up and through a window as Pooh begins to whip him with the hair. Pooh lifts the hair, Eeyore's tail, and whips Christopher again. Pooh whips Christopher once more, then begins pulling his arm to the left and right, whipping Christopher in both directions. Long bloody gashes open up in Christopher's back as Pooh whips him again and again. Christopher moves back and forth, unable to get away due to the chains holding his wrists in place. Pooh turns and walks away, seemingly leaving the room. Christopher hunches over as much as he is able to in order to try to alleviate the pain. He looks up, sobbing. He puts his head back down between his arms. Blood drips down his chest and back. Pooh returns, holding a bloodied, meat-ridden skeleton. He sets it down on a table next to Christopher. Christopher looks over at the skeleton and recognizes it as his fiancée, Mary. He begins to sob as he looks at her mostly bare, skeletal corpse. The lights continue to flicker on and off. Pooh pours a bucket of bloody water and organs into a trough on the ground nearby. Intestines bob up out of the water, which begins to bubble. A clear plastic tube in the trough pulls the water up through itself and into a shower head suspended from the ceiling above Christopher's head. Blood begins to drip out of the shower head and onto Christopher's head, then down his shoulders, back, and chest. He holds his head down between his arms as the blood showers him. He looks over at Mary's skeleton again. The scene cuts away to Pooh trudging slowly in the misty woods, dragging a skeleton. He suddenly stops as he hears a noise and looks up and around. His head whips to the side and he drops the skeleton, walking towards the noise he heard. At the house that Maria and her friends rented, Lara sits in the hot tub drinking a glass of wine. There is a large four-legged canopy above the tub. She bobs her head and puts her arms out to the side, stretching. She moves to the hot tub's control panel and presses a button several times, but seems to get no response. She holds her hand up, but shrugs and moves into the center of the hot tub. She runs her hand through her wet hair and moves forward, balancing on her arms as her legs float up, her feet out of the water. She picks up her wine glass and takes another drink. She turns and sits down in the tub, picking up her cell phone from the side. Lara opens her front-facing camera and puts a hand on her head, taking pictures of herself. She looks down and readjusts her bikini top. She holds the phone to the side and looks into it, putting her hand on her head again for another picture. She holds out a few strands of her hair and takes another picture. She gets up out of the water and sits on the side of the hot tub. She holds the phone up again for more pictures. She moves it around, trying to find a good angle. She puts her hand on her head again as she pulls the phone to the side of herself. She tilts her head up as she takes pictures. She now moves the phone to her front and puts a hand on her chest, tilting her head up again. She checks her phone and sits back down in the water. She scrolls through the photos of herself she has just taken.
Crap. Crap. Absolutely not. What the fuck?
Lara zooms in on one of her photos to see Pooh in the background peering around a corner at her.
What the fuck? Hello?
Lara stands and looks around.
Hello?
Lara scratches her hip and puts her phone down on the side of the hot tub as she begins to get out, going up the small steps on the side. She walks around to the side of the hot tub and looks over to where Pooh was in the picture, but she sees nothing there. She narrows her eyes and looks around.
Are you stalking Maria?
Lara holds her hands up to her sides and turns around, looking for a stalker. She scratches her head and walks over to the other side of the hot tub. She stands beside a light and turns it on, illuminating the area. She looks around again. The light flickers on and off as Lara walks away from it. She takes a final look around.
Whatever. You're not ruining my holiday, you fuck freak.
The light continues to flicker as Lara goes up the small steps and gets back into the hot tub. She looks back at where Pooh was, before sitting down and turning away. She sits back, her head resting on the edge of the tub. Her knee pokes out of the water and her arms float out to the sides. She slowly kicks her legs under the water with her eyes closed. As the light flashes, Pooh is illuminated, slowly approaching in the background behind Lara, who doesn't notice that he is there. Lara brings her arms in and out, floating in the water beside her as she continues to slowly kick her legs. She tilts her head slightly. Piglet joins Pooh as the two get closer and closer to Lara in the hot tub. She now rubs her fingertips along her stomach as she bobs her head from side to side. The light flickers again nearby as Lara lets her arms float at her sides again. Suddenly, a gloved hand puts a folded piece of cloth over Lara's face. She struggles, splashing in the water, but can't get the cloth loose. Pooh stands by, as Piglet smothers Lara. Lara passes out. Pooh reaches into the tub to help Piglet pull her out. They lift her legs and carry her out of and away from the hot tub. The light flickers rapidly, then goes out. In the darkness, a car starts up and the headlights turn on. Pooh is behind the wheel. Lara is lying face down on the ground, a gag in her mouth and her hands tied behind her back. Her eyes flutter open and she moves her head around. She is hogtied and can't get up. Piglet approaches, dragging a sledgehammer along the ground. Lara continues to struggle against the ropes. Piglet continues to walk towards her with the sledgehammer. He puts his foot on her back to hold her in place as Pooh revs the car's engine. Piglet looks down at her, his mouth opening slightly. Lara shakes her head. Piglet looks down at her and then back over at Pooh. Piglet nods. Pooh tilts his head then begins to drive forward. Piglet looks back down at Lara. Pooh smiles and pulls the car forward towards her. He veers slightly to the side as he approaches. The gag comes out of Lara's mouth as she screams in terror. The front right tire begins to drive over her head, cracking her skull. Blood pours out over her face. Pooh revs the engine again. Lara's eye has now popped out of her socket and is on the ground beside her. More blood squirts out from her head. Elsewhere, Maria and Jessica sit on a small pier.
What was that? Was that Lara?
Did she scream?
I think so. Fuck. Come on, something must be wrong.
Alice and Zoe are inside.
It sounded like a scream.
Maybe Tina's here.
No, that didn't sound like Tina. Should we go and check it out?
Yeah, come on.
Alice and Zoe go to look for Lara. Maria and Jessica run up the path.
Where's his car here?
It doesn't feel right, Maria. Why is the door left open like that?
I'm not sure.
Come on. It's okay.
Maria and Jessica look around the abandoned car. They go around the side and see Lara's tied up body, her head completely crushed to a bloody pulp.
What is that?
They go inside to see Alice and Zoe standing in front of the windows which have the words, "Get out," written on them in blood. They all look in shock. Jessica opens her mouth to speak.
Lara's dead.
What?
There's someone else outside.
Zoe looks through the window to see if anyone is outside.
Whoever it is, probably wrote that.
What are we supposed to do now?
The front door was open. They could be inside.
This is done from the outside.
We need to stick together and find a weapon. Come on. We need to call the police.
Jessica nods nervously. The group look as they hear a noise. They stand together frozen in place. Zoe walks out from behind Jessica and looks down the unlit hallway. They see Pooh walk past outside holding a machete. Pooh stops in place as he surveys the area. A swarm of bees buzz around his back as he looks around, not noticing the women. They stare at him in horror.
Oh, I'm scared. I'm scared, Alice. I'm scared.
What was that?
Did you see his face?
Pooh looks in a window.
That did not look human.
The lights cut out. Zoe holds a finger to her mouth. Pooh continues to look in through the window. Zoe looks at Alice.
in the house. Try to stay calm, okay? We need to find something to defend ourselves with. The kitchen. Come on. I'm scared. We gotta get through this, okay? Why won't you leave me alone? He just keeps following me everywhere I go. I'm there with you. You're not alone.
Pooh and Piglet walk around outside, looking for signs of life. Zoe and Alice come into the living room where Maria and Jessica are. Zoe holds a small sledgehammer and Alice has a knife.
Are you okay?
She's okay. She's had a moment.
Maria, I need you to pull yourself together. Whatever is out there, it's not your stalker. And he is trying to get inside the house. Come on. The pool, didn't she, out the back?
Yeah, early one. Oh, God, you don't think she's...
Fuck! I bet she's left the door open. Whatever that thing is, it's out the front. I'm gonna go close the door.
No, you can't. I can't let you sneak inside.
Zoe, stop!
Zoe and Alice walk off. Maria and Jessica huddle together.
I've got a gun! Jessica, I've got a gun upstairs.
A gun, yeah.
I've got a gun upstairs in the room. Come on.
Maria and Jessica run upstairs. Maria looks through the drawers for her gun. She pulls out a revolver.
Okay, I've got it. Okay. Maria
and Jessica exit the room and stop at the top of the stairs, seeing that Pooh is inside the house. Pooh wanders around, looking for the women, but finds nobody. He exits through a doorway. Alice and Zoe go into the pool house.
Be as quiet as possible. We need to get to that door. We need to shut the door and get back to the girls.
Zoe and Alice creep around the edge of the pool. Alice follows close behind Zoe. Zoe stops, satisfied that there's nobody in the immediate area, and looks back at Alice. Alice touches Zoe's arm. Zoe turns away. The two suddenly whip around as they hear a noise.
If I tell you to leave, you run out of that door as fast as you can.
Sorry, no, I'm coming with you. You're not leaving me.
The two look around for any intruders. Piglet suddenly appears behind Alice, cracking her across the face and knocking her down. Zoe screams and falls backwards into the pool. Piglet shuffles over to Alice, still on the ground. He stands over her with his sledgehammer up and a chain hanging around his neck. Piglet looks over at Zoe and moves away from Alice. Zoe backs away from him, still in the water. Piglet places the sledgehammer on the ground, and takes the chains off from around his neck. He throws the end of the chain in the water, but misses Zoe. He tries again, throwing the chain, but misses again. Zoe keeps backing up as Piglet keeps missing her with the chain. Piglet swings the chain lazily back and forth, then goes over to pick up the sledgehammer again. He drops the chain on the ground and steps into the pool to get at Zoe. Zoe backs up away from him still. She finally turns and begins to desperately swim away from him. Piglet wades after her, the sledgehammer held up in the air. Shots of their legs underwater. Zoe kicks and struggles to get away from Piglet in the small rectangular pool while Piglet slowly walks after her. He swings the sledgehammer, splashing the water. Zoe continues to swim away. He swings again and still misses. Piglet swings the sledgehammer again, now too far away from Zoe to possibly hit her. At the other end of the pool, Alice wakes up and looks around, seeing Piglet about to swing his sledgehammer at Zoe again. He wallops Zoe across the face with it, crushing her face and spraying blood all over and into the water. Alice watches in horror and mouths Zoe's name. Piglet swings the sledgehammer down, hitting the water and making a splash. He hits the water again, splashing more water and blood. Alice continues to watch in horror. Piglet is now wading towards Alice with the sledgehammer held up, blood dripping down off of it and into the water. Alice continues to lie on the ground and then passes out again as the scene fades out. Maria and Jessica remain on the landing upstairs as Pooh walks back into the room below them.
Was that Zoe? I think so. Come on.
The two leave their hiding spot and head into the pool house.
No, Zoe!
Zoe's bloodied body floats in the pool. Jessica points at the window, seeing Pooh carrying Alice away. Piglet walks behind him with his sledgehammer and chain. Jessica and Maria creep through the misty darkness outside after Pooh and Piglet. They hide behind a small wooden truck trailer. Maria carries her gun.
Quiet. I don't think they saw us.
Maria looks around a tractor to see Pooh and Piglet in the distance. Pooh still carries Alice over his shoulder.
Are you sure I shouldn't just shoot them? Alice is close and you won't hear them. Let's follow for now. We'll find an opportunity soon.
Pooh and Piglet move their heads as if they're speaking with each other. They now break apart as Piglet walks away towards where Maria and Jessica are hiding behind the tractor. Pooh walks in the opposite direction, still keeping Alice slung over his shoulder. Piglet has his sledgehammer slung over his own shoulder. He looks up and then around, then walks away from the tractor, not noticing Jessica and Maria hiding there. He walks back over to Pooh and the two leave together, walking away from the women. Maria and Jessica jog closer past a fire. Electric candle lights flicker on a chandelier made of antlers. Alice is laying down on a wooden platform with rope attached to the edges. Her arms and legs are tied to the ropes at the edges of the platform. She begins to stir. She wakes up and looks to the side to see Pooh hunkered down and eating something. He is rubbing honey around his mouth in the flickering light. It drips down his face and nose as he scoops it into his mouth. Alice continues to stir on the wooden platform, drool forming a line from her mouth to the side of her head. A spot of dribble drips down and lands on the platform audibly. Pooh picks his head up slowly, then suddenly whips his head towards her as he chews, smacking his lips together due to the honey. Alice begins to sob as she looks over at him. Pooh stands up and turns around, lumbering towards her. Alice begins to struggle against the ropes holding her down, but is unsuccessful in loosening them. Pooh appears at the front of the wooden platform, looming over Alice's head as she looks up at him, dripping honey from his face onto hers. He touches her face with his finger and touches it to his nose. He looks over to the side at a large clay pot with mist rolling along behind it, then back down at Alice. Alice squeezes her eyes shut and turns away, but Pooh suddenly stands back up. He continues to look down at her, still smacking his lips from the honey, and then slowly raises his right hand up above his head. He brings it down swiftly in a sharp slap across Alice's face. He continues to slap her, increasing the speed of the slaps. The screen slowly fades to black. Alice is unconscious again on the wooden platform. Maria and Jessica approach.
Alice! Alice!
The two rush over to inspect her. Maria places her gun beside Alice. Jessica and Maria untie the ropes around Alice's wrists.
Zoe. Where's Zoe?
Shh.
Zoe? Where am I?
Calm down. Calm down. It's all right.
Those creatures.
Shh. They're going to get you out of here. You're all right. Hey?
They killed her. They killed Zoe.
We can't stay here, Alice. We can come back at any time.
Alice nods.
Okay. Okay. That's it. Okay. Come on. Get more. Get going. Oh.
What the fuck was that?
Jessica, if there's someone else trapped here, we can't just leave them. Not to be killed by those monsters.
The three of them creep through the compound along the metal trailers. They now enter a doorway. A bloody metal hook hangs from the ceiling nearby. Maria and Alice cover their noses as they enter the room in the treehouse. In the back of the room, they see Christopher, still hung up by his wrists on the chain.
We need to get the fuck out of here.
Maria approaches him.
Wait, what are you doing? We could be back any minute, okay? We need to leave now.
Alice and Jessica stand back while Maria continues to approach Christopher. She gets closer, crouching slightly to get on eye level with him. His head is slumped down. Maria gets lower, looking up at his face. She reaches a shaky hand up towards his face. Christopher suddenly takes a breath and wakes up. Maria pulls back. Maria attempts to free Christopher. Jessica and Alice rush over to help. Christopher drops to the ground as they free him. Maria helps him up, but looks over at a new voice.
There's others!
She's the only one they brought her in this morning. Go, help her, I'll be fine. But there isn't any time, just go!
Maria, Jessica, and Alice rush off as Christopher stays on the ground, coughing and catching his breath. A bloodied woman in torn clothing is kneeling in the woods, her arms chained to nearby trees. Maria, Jessica, and Alice approach from the treehouse. Torches burn near the woman, bathing her in light.
Oh, what have they done to her?
Maria approaches the woman slowly. The woman, Charlene, looks up to show her beaten and bloody face.
Please.
Jessica looks away from the woman's face.
What happened to you?
Blue piglet.
Why? I don't understand. What blue piglet?
That's what they call themselves. They're just these disfigured creatures. Half pig, half bear. They talk. Broken English.
What have they done to you?
Piglet. It mauls me. Everyone's.
Oh, have you spoken to them?
Time I try. Piglet just mauls me again. I just can't talk. Please.
The group free Charlene and help her up and away from where she was bound. She limps up a flight of stairs, supported by Alice and Jessica on either side of her. They approach the treehouse and stop to look around. Charlene catches sight of her reflection in the window and opens her mouth in silent horror. She ambles forward, putting her hands near her face in terror as she looks at herself. Jessica tries to shush her.
Just let me see.
Please, forget it. We need to get out of here.
Charlene sobs as Maria, Jessica, and Alice try to comfort and quiet her.
I am not leaving here until he is dead.
Charlene takes Maria's gun and gets up, hobbling away.
Piglet! Where are you? Piglet! Where are you? I'm here, Piglet. Come and find me.
She's mental.
He's gonna come out. He's gonna come out.
Charlene walks around the fire pit, pointing the gun around as she looks for Piglet. She fires the gun once to draw him out. She's successful as Piglet walks out from behind one of the metal trailers that circles the fire pit deck. He holds onto the chains wrapped around his neck. He holds up a length of chain above his head and squeals, whips it on the ground.
There you are, Piglet.
Charlene and Piglet circle each other around the fire pit. Piglet drags his chain.
Why me?
The two continue to circle. Charlene bares her teeth, glaring at Piglet. She holds onto the gun, her finger on the trigger.
It's your fault. You turned me into a monster. I'm gonna make you pay for what you've done to me.
Charlene raises the revolver and points it at Piglet.
How come so like it?
She pulls the trigger, but it's empty. She backs up into Pooh. She freezes, then turns around slowly in horror. Pooh drools and smiles at her. He grabs the back of her neck, forcing her down. Piglet squeals into the sky. Pooh stands over Charlene and untwists the lid on a jar of honey. He upends it, tipping the contents onto Charlene's face. Jessica, Maria, and Alice continue to watch from their hiding spot. Pooh suddenly looks over at the women. He begins to run towards them. Alice, instead of running away with Maria and Jessica, topples over on the ground, lying prone. Piglet finishes mauling Charlene and Oinks. Alice looks over to see Piglet's sledgehammer beside her. Alice smashes Piglet in the face with the sledgehammer, knocking him down. Maria and Jessica run through a hallway of branches, lit by a torch. Maria takes a torch out of its holder and waves it at Pooh. Pooh swats at the torch, but stays back from the fire. Maria lowers the torch as she and Jessica run away from Pooh. Pooh chases after them, unrelenting. Maria and Jessica sprint through the woods in a desperate attempt to get away from Pooh, who is in hot pursuit of them. The three of them continue running. Piglet wakes up, chained to the spot where Charlene was found. A rope is tied around his neck. He looks up and is immediately punched in the face by Alice, who glares down at him angrily. Piglet lifts his head and Alice hits him in the face again.
That's right. Wake up, you piece of shit! You're gonna pay for what you did, you fucking freak!
Piglet struggles against the chains.
You know better than anyone how strong those chains are. You're not going anywhere.
Back in the woods, Maria and Jessica hide behind a tree.
I think he saw us.
What's he doing?
Pooh looks around.
Now this is for that poor woman that you mauled.
Alice rears back and smacks Piglet in the head with the sledgehammer. She looks down at him in disgust.
And this? Is this what you did to Lara?
Alice bashes him in the head again. Piglet raises his head again. Alice stands up straight.
This is for what you did to Zoe.
Alice raises the sledgehammer and brings it down directly on Piglet's skull, killing him.
Alice.
Pooh looks around in the woods, apparently sensing Piglet's death, and runs off. Alice stands over Piglet's body. She keeps hold of the sledgehammer, dragging it with her. She looks over as Pooh approaches suddenly her and grabs her by the throat, pinning her up against a tree. He lifts her with one hand. Pooh raises his machete up and slides it into Alice's mouth slowly, pinning her to the tree and killing her as the blade exits the back of her head. Pooh backs up as blood pours out of her mouth. Maria and Jessica come up in time to see this and are aghast. Pooh looks back at them and gives chase again. Maria and Jessica run out into a clearing to catch their breath.
We don't have a minute! Come on!
Pooh comes charging after them, swinging Piglet's sledgehammer around. Maria and Jessica run out onto a dirt path. They look around, but can't see Pooh anywhere. In the background, a car drives towards them.
Come on, we need to hurry!
What you talking about? What's happening to y'all, huh?
He's coming for us. He's coming. He's killed our friends.
Who is?
Pooh. Okay, we need to go now.
Pooh? You girls on drugs?
No, you're not listening to me. We need to get out of here now. Please.
No. Go. You need to calm down. You ain't making no sense.
Oi. Logan. Check it out. What the fuck is that?
Pooh stands in the distance. The girls lock themselves in the car.
That ain't no human, Logan. Well, it ain't no bear either. Some kind of freak picking on them girls, huh?
Colt, Tucker, it's all up. I don't like the look of this one.
Is this who's been chasing you?
No, you don't understand.
Pooh stands in front of the car, illuminated by the headlights. Logan smiles at him and looks back at his friends.
No, boys, you ready?
The four men approach Pooh, all wielding weapons.
You all right, boy? You ain't got no manners, do you?
Girls are terrified, Logan.
What?
What are you looking at freaks doing to them?
Hey, yo, what you been doing to them girls, huh?
The men continue to approach. Pooh stands still with his sledgehammer.
Oi!
That fat git as dumb as he looks.
You better start talking, or you ain't gonna be breathing, you get it?
You're not kicking on small girls, do ya? You freak!
The men surround Pooh, who stays still, smacking his lips. The men move in closer.
It's your unlucky day, mate.
You think you're tough, you fucking nonce?
Not chatting, huh? Well, I guess it's time to open up a fucking can of whoop-ass!
Logan cracks Pooh in the face with a crowbar. Pooh seems unfazed and looks at Logan. Logan looks at his friends, incredulous.
You're tough. I'll give you that. But you ain't gonna be standing soon when we start whipping the shit out of you. Ready, boys?
Logan grips his crowbar. His friends hold a sledgehammer, a baseball bat, and a bottle. Blood drips down Pooh's arm and off his hand onto the ground. The men all stare at Pooh, clearly ready to commit great violence against him. Logan whacks Pooh with the crowbar again, back and forth across his face. Pooh is hit by the sledgehammer and coughs up blood, then hit again upwards. The men begin beating on him together. The baseball bat knocks the back of Pooh's knee, almost sending him to the ground. Inside the men's car, Maria and Jessica look for the keys so they can escape, but are unable to find anything. Logan's friend shatters the bottle on the back of Pooh's head. Glass sprays everywhere as Pooh leans forward. Pooh clenches his bloody fist and raises his head, looking back at the man with the broken bottle whom he towers over. Pooh, now frowning, raises his hand and slaps down on the man's head, ripping half of his face off. The other men look on in horror. The man holds his hand up, trying to keep Pooh back. He runs away back towards the car. He presses the missing half of his face against the window, trying to get in. The man with the missing half face slides down the window to the ground. The man with the baseball bat throws a punch which Pooh immediately catches. Pooh raises his own hand and brings it down, severing the man's hand. Pooh then stomps on his head, crushing it. Pooh twists his boot, grinding the man's head into the dirt. Pooh now slices across Logan's throat, spurting blood all over the place. Logan's last living friend makes a run for it away from Pooh. Pooh motions his arm and sends a swarm of bees toward the man which begins stinging him. Pooh walks towards the car now. Maria is able to start the car and drives off. She hits Pooh and they seem to drive over him. Maria looks in the mirrors and through the back window to make sure, but doesn't see him. Pooh clings to the back of the truck and climbs up into the bed.
I can't see him.
Maria now sees Pooh in the bed of the truck. Pooh steadies himself in the bed of the truck, holding onto the side as Maria continues driving forward. She swerves, attempting to fling him from the back, but is unsuccessful. Pooh grabs onto the back of the cab, staring in at the window. He begins to climb up on top of the cab. Maria continues to speed along the dirt path as Pooh gets fully on top of the cab above them. The truck barrels along the dirt path with Pooh still on top. Maria and Jessica look up at the ceiling, knowing that Pooh is up there. He clambers around on the roof loudly, terrifying them. He moves closer and closer to the front windshield, finally getting his hands on it. Jessica screams in terror as Maria continues driving. Jessica begins to hit the ceiling of the cab as Pooh slaps at the windshield. Pooh looks in through the front windshield at Maria and Jessica. Jessica continues hitting the ceiling with her hand. Pooh makes a fist and begins to strike the windshield to try to get at them. Maria finally hits the brakes, launching Pooh from the top of the truck. The screen goes black. Maria, hunched over the steering wheel, lifts her head, her ears ringing. Her face is covered in blood from the top of her head. She looks at the passenger side to see Jessica, also covered in blood, being dragged away by Pooh in slow motion. Maria is too dazed to help and rests her chin on the steering wheel. Pooh drags Jessica over to the front of the car, bathing them both in the glow from the headlights. Maria puts a hand to her forehead, then looks at the blood on her hand. She puts her head back on the seat and looks around, then out the front windshield. Her eyes open wide as she watches Pooh lift up Jessica's severed head by her hair. Maria grips the steering wheel and screams. Pooh lumbers back towards the truck. Maria shakes her head in horror, looking around as she turns the key in the ignition, attempting to start the truck. She hits the steering wheel in frustration as the engine idles and the headlights flicker. Pooh continues to approach, allowing the flickering headlights mask his movements. Pooh still carries Jessica's head with him. He now tosses Jessica's head in the air, making it land on the hood of the truck with a wet splat. The wipers activate and move Jessica's head around, letting her blood smear all over the windshield, further obscuring Boo's actions. Maria pushes herself into the passenger seat and out of the truck. Boo now grabs her, pulling her from the vehicle. Boo pulls her towards the front of the car and makes her kneel down, pressing her face up against the headlight. He holds up a knife, ready to stab her. Another car suddenly appears, driven by Christopher. It heads straight towards Pooh, who turns to look. Christopher drives into Pooh, pinning him between the car and the truck. Maria lies on the road as smoke from the car's billows out around her. Pooh is unmoving, hunched over the hood of the car Christopher was driving, his face covered in blood. Christopher's head is on his steering wheel as he grips it. He slowly lifts his head, looking at Pooh's body. He takes several deep breaths. Christopher continues to grip the steering wheel and stare at Pooh. Finally, he turns and exits the car. Walking out and approaching Pooh, who is still motionless and pinned between the two vehicles. The hood of Christopher's car is now on fire. Christopher, taking deep breaths, stares grimly at Pooh, who stays slumped, seemingly dead. His face crinkles up in sadness, mournful for his old friend. He turns away from Pooh and goes to check on Maria.
You okay? Hey.
Maria wakes up and looks at him.
It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Look at me. It's okay. Okay? It's over. You're Maria, right? Okay, can you walk? Yeah? Okay. Go on.
Pooh shakes awake and spits up blood. Christopher slings Maria's arm over his shoulder and the two of them hobble away from Pooh, who pushes against the car in an attempt to escape his trap. Gasoline pours from underneath Christopher's car. Pooh successfully pushes the both vehicles away from himself and frees himself. He picks up his knife, wipes it off on his pants, and continues his pursuit of Christopher and Maria. As Pooh stalks towards them, the vehicles explode. Pooh does not react, but Christopher and Maria both fall over in front of him, allowing him to catch up. Maria, her face completely covered in blood, looks up at him. Pooh walks towards her as she tries to back away. Pooh grabs Maria.
Why are you doing that? Please, why are you doing that? Why won't you stop? It's me you wanted. Leave alone. You've had enough people, Pooh. Please. You were remembering how things were, right? You can't stop. The good is still in there, Pooh. You can't stop.
I know I caused you a lot of pain.
Let her go, please. I'll stay. I'll stay. Just take me instead, please.
No, no, you can't. He'll kill you.
You saved me. Now it's my turn. Trust me. Oh. Let her go. No. I'll stay with you forever. Take me instead.
Pooh slices the knife across Maria's throat, letting the blood squirt out of her. Christopher grabs Maria and cradles her body as she bleeds out. Pooh stands in front of them, still holding the bloody knife and staring down at them both. Blood pours out of Maria's mouth. The two of them hug each other as Christopher continues to sob. Maria clutches onto Christopher, her chin resting on his shoulder. The vehicles continue to burn in the background as Christopher lowers Maria's body slowly to the ground. Pooh continues to stand by, watching it all happen. Pooh frowns as Maria's arms flop onto the ground. Christopher rubs his hand on her cheek. She looks up at him, attempting to speak, but can barely manage it due to her slit throat. Christopher looks up at Pooh as Maria coughs and chokes on her own blood. Pooh now steps forward towards Christopher and Maria, still holding the knife. He backs away along the ground. He scrambles to his feet and runs to create some distance as Pooh kneels down and begins stabbing Maria over and over, finally killing her. Christopher watches in horror as this happens. Pooh stabs Maria several more times, the last few strikes directly in her head. Christopher turns and begins to run away into the woods from the grisly scene. Pooh doesn't seem to notice Christopher leaving and continues to stab Maria. The gas keeps leaking out of the car. Flames cover the area as well as Jessica's head with some of her spinal column still attached. The screen goes black. Writer and director, Reese Frakewaterfield. Producers, Reese Frakewaterfield, Scott Jeffrey. Director of Photography, Vince Knight. Editor, Reese Frakewaterfield. Music, Andrew Scott Bell. Executive Producers, Stuart Olson, Nicole Holland. End credits. Shot on location in England, UK. Winnie the Pooh will return. Jagged Edge Productions. ITN Distribution.